Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Bless the Lord. We give God thanks and praise for this another opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue on the topic of the suffering servant. And we are in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52, 13 through 15, and Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. And we are continuing this session. We have done two sessions before, and this is the third and last session of this teaching. And we are in verse 7 of Isaiah 53. But before I begin, let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you for your goodness, for your mercies towards us. Thank you for your grace, which is sufficient to keep us. Thank you for your people who are listening, O God, to your word at this time. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you will open their hearts to receive of you, Lord. Reveal yourself in such a way that they will come to know and trust in you, Jesus. Father, we thank you and we give you praise for this opportunity again, as we look to you by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 53 verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. And this is speaking about Jesus, our suffering servant. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearer is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. And remember in the gospel, when he was taken to Pilate, the governor, and also to Herod the king, he did not defend himself. Jesus did not defend himself, but he laid down his life. He became that ultimate sacrifice for us. He is the Lamb of God, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist saw him, and he cried out in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. In the olden days, the priests had to make a sacrifice for the people so that their sins could be blotted out. That was a temporary system that was set up by the Lord, but through his grace and his mercy, so that men would have a way out then until the ultimate sacrifice came. So Jesus is that ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So he came and he laid down his life for us so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 8 said of Isaiah 53, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? And remember, he was taken to the judgment hall, and he was then taken away to be crucified. And who shall declare his generation? This is a question that was asked by Isaiah the prophet. Who shall declare his generation? And we can ask that question right now. Who is going to go and declare the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? The word of God says, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. His life was taken. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So he did not die for himself. He did not die for his sin. He did not have no sin. He is a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. But he died for the transgression of my people. He died for the transgression of humanity. He died for each and every one of us. But we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We could not pay that price. But he came and he laid down his life for us so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. We are going to read in Hebrews 2, verse 9 through 12. Hebrews 2, 9 through 12 said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So Jesus came, he put on humanity, and he came to taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. So all things belong to him, and all things are made by him, in bringing many sons unto glory. So we who have put our trust in him, we are the sons that he has brought unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So he is the one that brings forth complete salvation for us through his suffering on the cross. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So he put on humanity and he came to earth. He became like one of us. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And he's not ashamed to call us brethren. So we should not be ashamed of him. His word tells us that if we are ashamed of him, he will also be ashamed of us before his Father. Verse 12 said, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So he has called us brethren because he has laid down his life for us so that we can now become children of God by putting our trust in him. So we have a great and mighty God, a great and mighty Savior who laid down his life for us. No man took his life from him, but he laid down his life for us. Verse 9 of Isaiah 53 said, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He made his grave with the wicked. And we see in Luke 23:33 that two thieves were crucified with him. They were hardened criminals. They were the wicked ones. And yet he was in the midst of them. He did no wrong. He did no ill. He was the spotless. He is the spotless Lamb of God. And he took on our sins. The Bible said he took on our sin. He became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. So he was numbered with the wicked and with the rich in his death. The Bible tells us in Matthew 27:57-60 that he was buried in the rich man's tomb. So he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. So we see where he was buried with the rich in the rich man's tomb. We can turn to Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to read about Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew chapter 27. And I'll read verses 57 through to 60. The word of God said, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. So we see here where Joseph, the rich man, placed Jesus' body in his new tomb. So he made his grave with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. There was no hypocrisy in him, no deceit. Let us turn to 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24. The Bible said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There was no deceit in him. who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was insulted, he did not insult them back. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, we now who do not have to respond to sin anymore, we now are dead to sin, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. We being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So Peter was telling us that by now we should not be dominated by sin. We should not allow sin to have dominion over us, but we should live a life of righteousness because of what Christ has done at the cross for us. So we want to be people who represent Christ well. We want to exalt his name wherever we go. We want to live a life pleasing, live a life holy unto him, completely separated unto him, living a life that to honor the spotless Lamb of God who paid the price for us. We are not our own, the Bible tells us. We are bought with a price, and that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see where he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Two thieves were crucified with him. He was the innocent one. They were all guilty. And he was also buried in the rich man's tomb, which was Joseph of Arimathea. So we see here, as Isaiah prophesied so many years before Jesus come, that the prophecy was fulfilled right here in, as we read in the gospel. Verse 10 of Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Lord was pleased to bruise his only begotten son. God the Father was pleased to bruise his only begotten son. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus for us. He loves us so much. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He has put Jesus to grief for us. Jesus bore our sorrows. He bore our grief, our sin, our pain, our weaknesses. He bore all of that on the cross for us. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. So he became that ultimate sacrifice when he laid down his life for us. No more is the need for them to slaughter all those animals for sacrifice. He became that ultimate sacrifice. He paid the price for us once and for all. The Bible said, he shall see his seed. Who is his seed? We are his offspring. Hebrews 2:13 said, behold, I and the children which God has given me. So we are his offspring. We are the seed that the word is speaking of right here. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pledge of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He died. He rose again on the third day. And he lives forevermore. And we, the pledge of the Lord, we are the pledge of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:18 that we are his inheritance. We are his inheritance. So we are the pledge of the Lord, and we shall prosper in the hand of Jesus. So we know that when we come to him, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us turn to 1 John 4, 9 through 10. The Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God sent his only begotten Son into the world. This is how this love was manifested, when God sent his only begotten into the world that we might live through him. herein is love. This is what love is. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. So he came and he satisfied the divine wrath of God. He is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the one that God is satisfied with. This is the sacrifice that God is satisfied with. He paid it once and for all for us. He becomes our covering. He has atoned for us with his blood. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. So we are the inheritance in the saints. We are the pledge of the Lord, which prospers in the hands of Jesus. Jesus keeps calling to us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, come unto me, ye that have labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is calling us to come and fellowship with him. Let us run to Jesus so that we can prosper in his hands. We can prosper in his care, for he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has given us the blessed comforter to comfort us, to be with us, to aid us, to help us in the time of need. We are not alone. God has provided everything that we need to live here on this earth, to live a life of godliness and holiness. He reminds us in his word that his grace is sufficient to keep us, and his spirit of grace resides with us. So we have the spirit of grace with us to help us in the time of need. So God must be glorified. God must be praised because of who he is and what he has done for us. Isaiah 53 verse 11 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So Father God saw the travail of the soul of Jesus, and he's satisfied with this offering. He's satisfied with this sacrifice, and he has highly exalted the Lamb of God. So we must also highly exalt him. By his knowledge of death shall my righteous servant justify many. We see in Luke 22, 40 through 44, Luke 22, 40 through 44, the word of God tells us, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So we see there he agonized. His soul was in agony. We see the travail of his soul as Luke recorded it here. And the Father is satisfied by all that Jesus went through for us. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. By his knowledge of what? His knowledge of death. By his knowledge of death shall my righteous servant justify many. Hebrews 2 verse 9 said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So Jesus tasted death for every man. So by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. So by his knowledge of death, we are now justified by his blood. The word of God says in Romans 5, 8 through 9, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are saved from the wrath of God. God is not angry with us anymore because we have put our trust in the ultimate sacrifice. We have put our trust in the Lamb of God who took away the sin of this world. Romans 5 verse 18 through 19 said, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we see here, Jesus obediently went to the cross. He humbled himself and went to the cross for us. And because of what he has done today, we are made righteous when we place our trust in him. We are declared righteous by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many. So the suffering servant, the righteous servant, he justify us when we put our trust in him. For he shall bear their iniquity, and he bore our iniquity. He bore our shame. He bore our pain. Death could not hold him down. Acts 2:24 tells us it was not possible for death to hold him. So we see here that death could not hold him. The Prince of Life could not stay in the grave. So death had no hold upon him. So he rose from the dead, and he now justifies us as we place our trust in him. For he bore our iniquity, he bore our shame and our pain. So Psalm 2 verse 12 said, kiss the Son, kiss Jesus, adore Jesus, give him the glory, give him the praise, worship him in spirit and in truth. He alone deserves glory, he alone deserves honor. He alone deserved the praise. He alone is God. He was made sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. So we want to trust Jesus. We want to walk each day in humble reverence of who he is. We want to praise him and worship him for who he is and for what he has done for us at the cross. Let us not take it lightly. Let us not just say it lightly. Jesus died on the cross for me and leave it there. But let us look deeply into what he has done. He became that ultimate sacrifice. He took our place. We were supposed to have died. For the word of God says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we are now justified by his blood. And now today we can declare that he is our Lord and our Savior. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 12 of Isaiah 53. He said, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of God says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He was awarded for his defeat of the enemy. He was awarded. He is our victorious general. And the word of God reminds us he conquered death. He conquered the devil. He conquered the grave. So Jesus Christ must be glorified. And it is said in time past, during the time of the Roman rule, when a general would go out to fight, and when he would come back, he defeats the enemy. He would drag that enemy in the streets and make a public disgrace of the enemy. So that is what Jesus did when he went to the cross for us. He is our victorious general, the word of God. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. So we see here where Jesus went to the grave and he conquered death, the devil, and the grave. Let us turn to Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 and see what the word of God says here. Hebrews 2, 14 through 15. The word of God says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So when Jesus went to the cross, he delivered us from the bondage of fear that has gripped God's people, because the fear of death and the fear of the unknown, all of this was there in our hearts before we come to know Jesus Christ. But he conquered all of that in when he died on the cross and he rose again. And he has given us that resurrection power. For his word tells us that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. The word of God says in Revelation 1, 17 through 18, "And when John said, 'When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death.'" Jesus shared what he took from the enemy with the strong and the mighty and the brave, because the word of God said he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Matthew 16, verse 19 said, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So when he went and when he died and rose again, he conquered the devil, the death, and the grave, and he has now given man the authority to walk in newness of life, to walk in the freedom that he has given us. He was numbered with the transgressors. He became our sin bearer, and he made intercession for the transgressors. The Bible said that he ever lived to make intercession for us. And we have to give him the glory, give him the praise, honor him for who he is, for he alone is worthy. He is the victorious general, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our ultimate Lamb of God, who laid down his life for us. So today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. God bless you. God bless you. And I pray that as you hear these words, you will apply them unto wisdom. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
This is WCNO Palm City, the Good News Station.